Paperprint Hustlers, Bruce from Printavo, Simple Shop Management Software. We've got a really special guest here, Cameron Maciel. He's 21. He's out of Riverside, California. If you haven't heard of his new invention, it's called Easy Press. It's really cool, and it appears to be a way to turn a manual into an auto. You could find him on E and then the letter Z, Press, plus on Instagram. And this is where he's kind of posting his progress of building this out. I found him there and thought this was really cool and wanted to get him to hop on the show. So, Cameron, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Awesome. Very cool. So, first of all, how did you get into printing? Start from the beginning, because you're only 21 and you're starting to already fabricate this really cool piece of machinery, but where did this all begin? Was your family in the business, or?
In middle school, seventh grade, I started with graphic design, and growing up, that's basically what I was all about, drawing and painting and playing on the computer and learning graphic design. And when I started getting into that and designing things for people, for companies, they wanted to know if I could put their new logo on t-shirts. So I looked into it, I learned the craft, watched YouTube videos, I found Ryanet, and 2012, my father paid for me to go to LA and learn with Ryanet, with Ross Hunter, the instructor at the time, and basically learn hands-on skills on how to screen print. From there, I would work in the summertime with my parents' businesses, doing like farming and real estate, working on rentals, and that's how I would make my money. And basically, when school would start back up, I'd take the money that I'd make in my summertime, and I would slowly invest into screen printing supplies. I would buy the screens, and then I'd buy the press, the squeegees. I did that for a few summers while learning on the side how to make a business out of this. By my freshman year in high school, I decided I want to actually do a business, and I basically talked to every single teacher, every single club, and all the coaches of all the sports teams that were at my high school. And 9 times out of 10, a lot of people said no. And then until I got one club that said yes, then the next club like, oh, where'd you get that? So it kind of grew pretty quickly. So being in the industry that my dad was in, we worked for the city, and basically we were the city contractors. So there was this shipping container that was left on a property in Moreno Valley. And basically my dad and I went to go look at it. And I basically said this was a perfect fit for a small screen printing shop. It was a 10 by 20 foot shipping container. It already had interior walls for like a construction office. It had an AC unit. It was full 110 wired for your plugins and lights. And then we contacted the city. The city says we can take it. I basically paid a towing company to pick up the shipping container and drop it off in my parents' backyard. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. I basically just set up the shipping container, put my press in there. I had a dark room. And went to town in that.
That's really cool. It's so funny you mentioned that. We just chatted with Success Print Shop in Texas.
Yeah.
And they also started in a shipping container, and now he's kind of expanded into a separate building on top of that. But that's really cool. So you set it up in there, wired it up for electricity, and put some lights, and like a 4x4 or?
The screen printing press?
Yeah.
The press that I was using was just a 4x1 on eBay, and then I basically used that all of 7th and 8th grade, and I realized that it wasn't a reliable press. And by my freshman year in high school, when I got my first order through a family friend for a soccer team, I was printing, the hardest color to print was Plastisol White, and I was printing on hoodies, and it was a very difficult job, and I realized I needed a better press because the registration wasn't there. There in the press that I had, so I bought the silver press from Ryanet, and that was an awesome press at the time. It was great. From there, it just kind of like blew up. I was printing. I was really big on social media, on Instagram, and I was just plugging away on that. The hashtag screen printing was really big at the time when Instagram was really new, and I would like literally just comment on every photo that I could, and I was getting all these clothing companies and, like I said, the clubs at my high school. But getting to the actual device itself, since I was in such a small area, growing up, we've always been taught to figure out a better way of doing things without it costing a lot. and basically using the resources that you have available to you. So I noticed this gap between manual printers, and then it went all the way up to fully automatic printing. And I just felt that there was like a middle ground for combining the two somehow. And for me, printing a four color t-shirt and you're doing 1,000 shirts, that's a lot of print strokes. I mean, flooding and printing constantly, especially on a manual press. So I kind of wanted a way to take the manual process out to where you're still loading the t-shirt just like you would on a fully automatic press. But when you go down and pull your screen down, instead of you doing the actual manual flooding and printing, you pull the screen down and you click a button and it does the flooding and printing for you, just like an automatic press would do. The only thing that the device wouldn't do that a fully automatic press would do is the rotation of the shirt, because a fully automatic, you put the shirt on and it rotates and it prints all the colors for you automatically. This way, it's like a semi-automatic device where it's doing just the flooding and printing for you. So this basically maintains consistency throughout shirt one to shirt 1,000. You're not getting fatigued by shirt 75, shirt 100. The consistency is still there throughout the whole job. And you're able to go a lot longer because you're not actually physically doing the manual labor now.
Interesting. So it's fully driven by space constraints.
Yeah, so the first design in high school, at my high school, we had an engineering program. And by my senior year, we were allowed to take the entire year to design whatever we wanted. There, it was based off three different categories. It was between helping the elderly, sports, and then arts. So you had to choose a category on what you wanted to design in. So my senior year project, I decided to basically build what I had designed from freshman year to senior year because I was printing so much, but I wasn't printing enough to buy a larger shop and buy an automatic press or hire people. I was still a one-man show. So I was like, there has to be a simpler solution where I can make my job easier and maintain quality to the end consumer. So from freshman year to senior year, I had the basic ideas designed by 2013. And then by 2016, I was actually able to prove the concept was there. And the first pneumatic one was, it was pneumatic driven, so where it was an actual pneumatic cylinder that would push and pull the squeegees. And the squeegees themselves, the flood and the actual flood squeegee and the print squeegee were all controlled pneumatically as well. Now the difference with Ryanet changed from their Silva Press to the Riley Hopkins Jr. now, and going that direction, the Riley Hopkins Jr. is a lot more compact and the press arm itself is a lot smaller. So since the press arm was smaller, I couldn't fit a large pneumatic behind the actual press arm. So I had to basically redesign the whole device from the ground up. Currently, I'm working on a screw drive system where it's a threaded rod down the center, and then one end is a stepper motor. And when the step motor is rotating, it rotates the actual threaded rod, which then would pull the whole main component that's holding the squeegees.
Got it. That's super interesting. So I'm looking at some of these pictures on your website and on Instagram. First of all, how did you start even to build this? I mean, what's involved in it? It seems like you were welding. I mean, but there seems like there's electronics to it too. How did you learn
Definitely.
some of that?
Like I said, my high school engineering class, at my high school, there's an engineering program. It's called Project Lead the Way. It's an awesome program. Kind of taken it a step further. I was kind of already ahead of a lot of what the school was actually already teaching because, like I said, like growing up with my father and my mom, we grew up in a business environment to where a lot of the tools and equipment that we need, they were never designed for what we used them for. So, like the farming equipment that we use, it's actual farming equipment, but we put it in terrains that are rocky, and they're just super rough, and they're not made for what they do. So we basically buy the main component. And growing up, we were always taught to like, all right, we need to figure out how to make this better. So growing up, we would always design those tools, and we would just trial and error. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, try again. That's how my dad brought us up as kids. So I always had that background of like, all right, I'm gonna try it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does, great. So by the time I got to high school, I was actually learning the technical craft of engineering design, like sketching your ideas, your front view, your side view, your isometric view. That was basically all of intro to design or intro to engineering was my freshman year. Sophomore year, we learned the principles of engineering, which is basically the physics of how everything is structurally made, like what materials to use, what materials not to use. By my third year in high school, we learned digital electronics. I kind of was doing programming already, programming websites, programming applications, programming databases. So the third year, we learned circuit board integration and how to use computer chips, how to use open source software, and basically just went to town on that. So I basically took the background on what I learned growing up, and I took the information that I learned in high school. And then, like I said, by my senior year, we are allowed to apply the 3 years prior to building one specific project if we took all 3 years. Basically, when I went to start it, I was only around one automatic press, and that's when I went to Ross Hunter's screen printing shop in Los Angeles. And that was the only time I was ever around an automatic press. And then when Ryan did a party in Los Angeles at their new warehouse facility, I saw one there too. So I basically took YouTube videos and watched how automatic presses work. And it was just a simple pneumatic stroke and pneumatics going up and down. So I basically just bought basically their Halloween prop pneumatics that are used for Halloween props for like popping stuff out. So I
Right, and
bought those
started to
pneumatics.
put it together
I
from
just,
there.
exactly, yeah.
That's really cool. What do you think? So have you had a working prototype yet, or where are you at now?
Well, my senior year project, it was basically proving the concept that it can work. And the senior year project version one, I think, is on the website of the video of the pneumatics going up and down and the actual print stroke going forward and reverse. I currently have never actually, I've put the device on press, but the problem I'm running into now is I have to basically reinvent the wheel on the actual squeegee attachment. I haven't designed that part yet. I haven't designed my own flood bar and my own actual squeegee bar that attaches to the pneumatics. That's like kind of where I'm at with it. Other than that, basically redesigning the whole device for a Riley Hopkins Junior Press now. I haven't actually tested a full flood and actual print, but the concept's there.
Got it. That's really exciting. What do you think a price point of something like this would be with, when you are able to put it together?
My goal is to have each device, you would need one device per print head. And my goal is to have each device to be at least $1,000.
Got it.
So if you're buying like the silver, comparing the numbers to like the silver press back in the day when you had it fully upgraded to the micros, it came out to $1,000. And if you bought a device like this, you would attach it to all four print heads. You can have a full manual semi-automatic press for $5,000.
That's really cool. What are some difficult things that you've learned just trying to build this out?
Things take time. I still work my 9 to 5. It's time management. Working with new tools that I haven't done before. So like I'm working with the devices I'm making are so intricate that they can't be machined out of CNC aluminum like I want them to, because my whole background is basically machining the stuff out of 3D printed plastic. So 3D printers can do more than a CNC mill would. So designing around that aspects of it, other than figuring out how to not reinvent the wheel, I want to make it super basic to where everything works together. Like I said, with the flood bar and the squeegee bar,
Sure.
those are some of the drawbacks that I've been having. But other than that, I mean, it's just a slow process. I mean, like I said, the 2016, I've built version one and I'm still working on version two. So
Yeah.
everything's just a slow process and it just takes time.
I admire you. I love the innovation here. I think this is really, really exciting, especially, just wanting to solve it and at your age too. It's very cool to see you solving these problems and just doing it. So that's really neat. The one where you got it to work and flood, like it, and pushed ink through and it stayed on, or what was the that first test that you got working?
the video I have of version one working, it's only showing the nomadics. Like, I had a small software that I had just made up real quick, and it was just basic flood squeegees down, flood squeegees up, print squeegees down, print squeegees up, and then a print stroke and a flood stroke. That's all it did. I never got it on press because, like I said, I never was able to finish the year out designing the flood bar and the squeegee holder. So I was never able to perfect that in the time that I had my senior year. And after I graduated, the switch over to the Riley Hopkins Jr. started. So once I saw that, I found a guy that had a Riley Hopkins Jr. press, and I basically got all the dimensions that I could because I couldn't afford to buy the press at the time. I basically started redesigning it from the ground up. So I haven't a actual end print test yet.
Got it.
With the device.
How did it feel though when you first got, you know, things were starting to move at least back and forth with that demo?
It was awesome. It was awesome because, like I said, the high school program, they only went so far in teaching. So I wanted it to be super, super professional. And in the high school program, they're showing you how to use Arduinos, which is a basic open source programming language that you can just build almost anything with. And I wanted a professional product. So I actually built my own circuit board with an Arduino on it. I built my own basically programming source library that would work for a screen printer, so it's easy to read. But once we got the circuit board going and we plugged all the nomadics in and we got the software to communicate with the board, and we were able to touch on a touchscreen and it would actually do something, it was awesome. It was an awesome experience. I still remember it to this day.
I bet. That's really cool. And so now you just keep working on it on nights and weekends?
Yeah, nights and weekends. I work very long days. Some nights I come home and basically I just do 3D modeling. And then by the time I'm done modeling that model, I throw it on the 3D. I have three 3D printers in my apartment here. I basically put that concept model in the printers and it would print for a day or two depending on the size. And then by the time I get home the next night or the following night, that model's done. And I basically take it off, and on my desk over here, the model's there, and I basically mock it up and see if that model works. And if it doesn't, I go back to the computer, redesign model 2, and just go through the process again.
That's really cool. What do you think on timing? Like, when do you feel like it's getting closer, or do you feel like end of this year or next year?
I definitely believe that it will be done the end of this year. I'm going to be home a lot more. Our family businesses, we travel a lot. So when I'm traveling away, that whole time I'm not doing almost anything that's related to the actual model itself. When I'm away, I'm only doing the actual programming side. But I hope to have it done this year. It's super close. The main part was the hardest part, getting everything aligned and working with the threaded rod, which was a new concept. Like I said, I only have to design the squeegee holder and the flood bar, and it's basically ready for testing.
That's very cool. Well, yeah, Cameron, this is the amount of work you've put into it to get it here is, again, like I said, very impressive. And I definitely want everybody to check it out, Easy Press. You can see it, easypressplus.com, E and then the letter Z, pressplus.com. If somebody else is looking to also innovate in their shop, what tips do you have for them?
Find a wrong that you want right. That's basically what it comes down to. If you do find a wrong that you want right, now you just need to break down the fundamentals of what it's going to take to make that wrong a right, and basically read books and watch YouTube videos and just plug away at it until you figure it out. Some things that I would like to find out and get feedback on is that I'm really big on open source platforms. That's how 3D printing broke out, when 3D printing was blowing up back in 2008 and MakerBot was designing a full-on open source. Mm-hmm. So I really want to know if other screen printers out there are interested in the open source platform. Are they willing to plug away and learn the background coding? It's a super basic software learning curve. It's all based off Arduino, like I said. And I want to know if there's people out there that would want to design modules to plug into the actual device itself to make it even better. I don't want to be the only one designing and developing and thinking like, this is what you want. I want other people like, oh, this would be cool. Like, and then I want to have like a platform where everyone goes to and they start like bouncing ideas off each other and other people that are young like me and know how to design and know how to 3D print. They're basically having this community where they're bouncing ideas off each other and they're developing other modules that will just plug and play into the device itself, you know?
Right, right. I think that's really exciting. I'd also love that as a side note to help introduce you to a couple other folks too that maybe can help you push forward or just lessons learned on the engineering side. So we'll connect after. But Cameron, really, really great. Thank you so much for sharing this. I'm very excited to see where this goes and pumped that you keep pushing it forward too. I think any business owner understands that it's the long haul, but it's not easy. And, you know, you're showing that you're pushing past that, which is incredible. So, Cameron, thanks so much for being able to join us today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It was awesome.